Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight, 2 Samuel chapter number 6. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, going to continue on in our series this evening in 2 Samuel. We've looking a little bit about David's life. We've mentioned the beginning of the 2 Samuel. It talks about a lot of the good characteristics of things that we can learn and grow from the life of David. Second half of the book comes to the spot to where some of the things are a little questionable and God has to judge him, God has to get things straight. And 2 Samuel chapter number 6, you're going to see David wants to do the right thing, but he does it the wrong way. And that's the title of the nice message, is Doing the Right Thing the Wrong Way. Also, I'm trying to choose between two different titles. It was either that or New Cart Christianity. Because you're going to see that David wanted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, or actually back to the center of the worship of the nation of Israel after becoming king, after combining the two kingdoms. And he chooses to do it the wrong way. And we might think, well, what's the big deal? Well, it's a big deal to God. God wants us to do the right thing, but God wants us to do it the right way also. There are a lot of people that are trying to serve God in the arm of the flesh, and they're just, you're going to see here that David becomes disappointed, David becomes discouraged, David doesn't know what he's supposed to do, he even begins to question, even stops doing what's right because he just didn't do it the right way, and because of that, something bad happened. David was secure now in his position of king. We looked at that. We saw how God brought him to be king of Judah. Remember, he looked to God. He searched God's face. He sought God. God told him what to do, when to go, where to go. Then for 7 years, there was that civil war between Judah and between the nation of Israel. And then in the end, God brought them all together. Once again, David very carefully allowing God to lead him and direct him. And that was one of the big points about letting God lead us and direct us. And then last week, we even saw the important part even in the battles, that they came, they won the battle, and then instead of just going out and fighting again, they turn around each step of the way. David is being led by the Lord. These are important and key things. Now David knows what he wants to do. He knows it's right. And he knows he wants to get the thing done that he knows God would be pleased with, but he goes and he does it his own way. In this short passage of Scripture, there's something that characterizes and something we can learn. And you say, well, why in the world did God bring this little passage of Scripture or this little story up for us? Why did he record it here? Couldn't this have been left out? And it could have been, but it shows us the importance of not just justifying things by doing the right thing. He wants to make sure that we're doing it the right way. A lot of churches out there that are trying their best to do what they think is the right way, but instead of being submissive to God, instead of being submissive to God's will, they're doing things their own way in the arm of the flesh. And just like you're going to see David here, he becomes saddened and he becomes frustrated and he comes to the spot that he stops trying to serve. I think sometimes if we don't see God working, we don't see God moving, we turn around and we get upset and we get frustrated and we said, what in the world are we doing wrong here? We got to make sure that not only are we doing the right thing, that we're doing it the right way. So let's look here for a little while at doing the right thing the wrong way. In 2 Samuel chapter number 6, let's go ahead and read. And we're going to look at the whole chapter tonight. We probably won't get through the whole chapter, but we're going to read through the whole chapter because it's all one story. And we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at some different things here. First, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Now, if you look in 1 Chronicles, there is a spot there that gives you kind of a parallel passage. And there's more than 30,000 chosen men, but these is a specific type of men. Even gives an allusion that it's maybe the Levites, or definitely the people that are closest to him that are going to do this work. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Bali of Judah to bring up from hence the ark of God. Now, you say, well, what is the ark? Well, let's give you a little story and a little understanding what the ark is. The ark was a box of wood that measured 45 long and 27 wide by 27 high. The box was overlaid with pure gold. It was topped with a golden grate called the mercy seat. One on either side of the mercy seat with two golden cherubims. Inside the ark was a golden pot of the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and two tables of the law that were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. It was here that God promised to meet with his people. It was here that the blood of the atonement was placed on the Day of Atonement. It was here that the Shekinah glory of God rested as the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness. And that's a lot of learning things. What was it? Well, it represented the presence of God amongst the nation of Israel. Remember about 75 years earlier, in the days of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they had made it like a superstitious thing. And they thought, oh, if we took the ark and we brought it into battle, guess what? God's going to let us win. Well, they had made it a superstitious thing. David was a man after God's own heart. David understood that God's people should be united together as a kingdom. But for a long time, they had been away from the Lord, and they had been away from the Lord's desire and wanting the presence of the Lord. When the Philistines captured and destroyed the nation of Israel that day, they took the ark. And after a little couple of different things that happened in the nation of Philistine, they brought the ark back to a spot and left it sitting there. Now, Saul didn't have any interest in the presence of God. The people were living for themselves. They weren't living for God. So there was really no interest or desire to get to the presence of God and get back to what doing and serving as a nation. David, when he became king, he wanted to join the people again, not just lead the armies. He wanted to join the people together to be able to restore the centerpiece of Israelite worship. He wanted the ark to be brought to the centerpiece where everyone could come and they could worship and they could follow God's laws. This ark was vital to the worship in Israel. It symbolically gave God's presence amongst his people. It was one that they often carried in battle. It was one that was central to their lives. It is one that they said that they laid the blood upon the Day of the Atonement. It was everything that centered around their worship. If they wanted to serve God the right way, they had to have the ark in the right spot. Nobody really cared about this, but David did. David says, we need to go get it. We need to get the ark. We need to put it back in the right spot. David loved the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. Yes, he messed up, but at the same time, David wanted to do what was right. So it says here that in verse number 3, that they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Now, you go back to the book of Exodus, you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, they weren't supposed to do that. That's the way the Philistines carried the ark back to this man's house that they had left it at. That was not where how it was supposed to be done. There was little poles that were supposed to be put on, and supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. It says, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab. Now, Abinadab is where the Philistines had left it at, and this was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahoah, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. So we see here one was out in the front, one was behind, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahoah went before the ark. And then look what it says in verse number 5. David thinks he's doing what's right. David thinks he's doing what's good, and David's excited. He wants to bring the ark back. He wants to bring back the worship of God, the presence of God in Israel. Remember when Eli had passed that they named that one child Ichabod because the presence of God had departed. Israel wasn't something that was interested in serving and worshiping God. There was a slight revival in the days of Samuel, and you saw that it became a very, very dark place. And David now, not only does he want to prosper the nation when it comes to physical things and as a military general, he wants to bring people back to worshiping the one true God. And it says that David on the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. So because the ark was being taken by the oxen, when the oxen had been traveling, probably about a couple miles, the ark began to become unsteady. So Uzzah is trying to do something that he thinks is to protect the ark. He just reaches his hand up to protect the ark. And you know what happens? They weren't supposed to do that. In verse number 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of the God. Now, you don't see very often God striking someone dead just like that. At least that's recorded. You know, sometimes people think that God's some type of character up in heaven, and he's got these lightning bolts, and he's just striking people dead. That's not described very often, is it? I know we know Ananias and Sapphira died, but there's not a lot of times when God smote someone dead just like that. He does this here because they're doing the right thing, but they're doing it the wrong way. They've broken the law. No one was allowed to touch the ark. Verse number 8, and David was displeased. Now look at David's response here. David was displeased because the ark of the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. He wasn't unhappy with himself because he was doing it the wrong way. He says he was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Zuzzah. to this day. When David was afraid of the Lord, so not only was he displeased, he frowned. Not only did he frown, he was fearful too. He's afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come unto me? Come to me?" And it's the question here is, you know, what am I supposed to do? I'm trying to do what's right, but what have I done wrong? Verse number 10, so David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. So you see here, not only does he frown, he's fearful, but he stops serving. He cuts it out. He says, look, if I can't get it right, I'm just not going to bring it. Even though it's what's best, even though I'm supposed to do it, I'm just going to stop doing it. Verse number 11, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all the household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto it because the ark of God. So, you know, something good's happening to Obed-Edom, that the presence of God is there. And so his house is being blessed, and that's told to David. So David is reminded why he wanted the ark in the first place. And so as he wanted the ark in the first place, so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. So he goes and he realizes he made a mistake. I need the ark. The nation needs the ark. With the ark comes blessing. With the presence of God comes blessing. So David goes. And look at the response here, how he does it differently. And it was so when they that bear the ark of the Lord. Now, once again, what do you mean bear the ark of the Lord? It means that someone was carrying it. They went to do it the right way. You go look in First Chronicles in chapter number 15, and you'll see that they were doing it the right way. The Levites were bearing it like they were supposed to, the way that God had commanded. But look how the celebration that's done here. Had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Could you imagine trying to travel any type of distance? And every 6 paces, they are sacrificing animals. And then it says, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David girded with a linen ephod. Now, some people look at this passage of Scripture and say that this is what makes dancing okay. The dancing that David did is totally different than the dancing that you see today and what happens in the world today. The dancing that happens in the world today is many times sexually oriented and is something that's done with 2 people. David is dancing by himself before the Lord, and it's more of a way that he is spinning and he is just worshiping the Lord. He's not doing it in a way to try to bring attention to himself or to try to help arouse a different individual or a person, like the dancing that's done when it's done with individuals together. David here danced before the Lord with all his might, and if you would have saw what he did, you would have turned around and said, that's completely different. Now, there's 2 sides to this coin. The ultra-conservative people that says dancing is wrong would sit there and say that that's something that we should not do, and that is true, the type of dancing that's done today. But you see the worship of David here. You know, you can worship the Lord in different ways. There's different people who worship God in different ways in different countries and in different parts of the world that some people would look at and be like, man, that's just weird. That's just strange. It's different than what we're used to, but is it wrong? You know, sometimes we as a church, you know, when we sing, it says that he did it with all his might. You know, he's up there, he's with all his might. How do we worship the Lord? Here at our church, we do it through singing. Do we sing with all our might? Sometimes I sit up there and I don't hear people singing with all their might. And that's what, this is a man who's loving the Lord, and he's interested in serving God. He's interested in not worrying what anybody else thinks. He just wants to worship the Lord. He wants to worship God. And he's there and he's doing with all his might. And he's just caring about what God said. You see where it says David, that was girded with the linen ephod, which means that he took off his kingly garments and he was dressed in just a common piece of apparel that you would see from other people that just a commoner would wear. David didn't want anybody to look at him as king. He just wanted them to look at him at that moment in time as someone who wanted to worship the Lord, who wanted to worship God. He wasn't doing it for anybody else. He was doing it for the Lord. Verse number 16. We'll keep on going. Verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. They were celebrating the fact that they were bringing the ark back. If there was shouting going on in our church, I think sometimes people would be really overwhelmed and worried about what's going on, even calling people charismatic just because they're just excited about the serving the Lord. And I don't think you should distract somebody else from their worship and their serving the Lord. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with rejoicing rejoicing in what God has done for us and rejoicing in the Lord. Verse number 16, and the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw the king leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. I don't know why Michal wasn't out there with them. There is a large group of people. Maybe David didn't invite her. I don't know what all the story was, but she looked through the window. She saw what David was doing, and she despised him in her heart. I think that sometimes when you're worshiping the Lord, the devil don't like it. And the devil is going to get other people to try to stop you from worshiping the Lord. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of the offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. So he goes and he distributes all this for all the people that were there. You see, there was men there, there was women there. He goes and gives them all those different things. And David returns, he blesses the Lord, he blesses the people. Now he wants to go bless his house. And Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. So she's not happy. She's a person that thinks of dignity is more important than serving the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And she does not understand, because she does not have this heart for God. And she doesn't question him in the idea of trying to understand why he does it. Instead, she is rebuking him for what he did. And in verse 21, David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which choose me before thy father. He says, look, it was God that gave me this position over your father's house and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, will I play before the Lord? He says, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore, the Michal of Saul, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the days of her death. And so we're going to look here a little bit in 2 Samuel chapter number 6 at some different things about doing the right thing the wrong way. And I think in the end, we'll probably cover the whole chapter after reading and looking at it and giving you that commentary already. First thing I want you to see is the desire of David's heart. The desire of David's heart. If I ask you what you thought about most and foremost when the name David came to your mind and came to your heart, what would you say? I mean, some might say the killing of Goliath, because that's a pretty big thing. That's what brought him out on the scene, and the whole nation fell in love with him that day. Some would be cynical and say, that sin with Bathsheba, and that is something that comes to our mind very quickly. Some might say the humble shepherd. Some might say the great psalmist. One of the things that comes to my heart and my mind was the fact that he was a man after God's own heart, but I loved the passion he served God with. This is something that we lack many times. It is a passion to serve God. Listen to a couple of the psalms that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write. I praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. You can see he's out there and he's excited about the ark coming. He's got things right. He's doing the right thing the right way. He just wants to worship the Lord, and he is doing it with all his heart and all his mind. And he is loving the Lord the way God told him to do. That's the thing that impresses me about David. It is something that is a heart that is passionately in love with God, and it boils over in his actions. I think the reason why he killed Goliath was because he had righteous indignation that day. And he said, no Philistine should talk about my God like that. There's no one that should be. He had a love and a heart for God. And the Bible even says God calls him a man after God's own heart. Psalms 108:1 says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Psalms 103:1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I want you to understand that David had a desire. It was a desire of David's heart to be close to God. He wanted to do what's right. It was a holy desire. It was clear. It was simple. He wants the ark to return to its place as a centerpiece of worship and devotion. He wants God's people back to worshiping the Lord. It was an honest desire. He was motivated by no ulterior motives. You know, that had been in Abinadab's house for years already. Saul never wanted to get it. Samuel, we don't ever hear of him going to get it or any desire. It was just a pure, honest motive. It was not something that many times political people will do things to try to get people to get excited and just for this reason, I'm going to do this. No. He wanted God's people to do what was right. It was also a humble desire. David knew that neither he or Israel would amount to anything without the presence or power of God. You know, I love the heart that David possesses here. You see it. There is a desire there. In verses 1 and verses 2 and verses number 3, it was simply to get to the presence of God. He says, I got to get to God's presence. I want to be in God's presence. And I know that some people say they had made it superstitious because when they brought the ark out into the battle. But David knew what that ark represented. David knew what was supposed to happen with that ark, with that tabernacle. He knew that's where God chose to dwell in the midst of his people. And guess what? He was excited about that. And Christian, I want you to understand that even if you have a desire to do what is right, you can do it in the wrong way. And that's what you learn from this passage of Scripture. He had an honest and holy and humble desire to do something that was good and to do something that was right. Second thing I want you to see, not only is the desire of David's heart, I want you to see David's disappointment. You go to verses 3 through 10, you see that Uzzah touched the ark and Uzzah was put to death. And you go back and you see here in verse number 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for this error, and there he died by the ark of the Lord. David's motives in bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, they were proper. His methods were faulty. Trying to do the right thing the wrong way will always bring a disappointment. If you try to do the right thing the wrong way, you will always end up being displeased, as it says here in verse number 8. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez-Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto the city of David, but David carried it aside. Here's a couple of things I want you to understand about this, and this is the main thing I want you to focus at, because I think many of you have a good desire. Many of you have a holy desire. Many of you want to do what's right, just like David. Maybe we don't have the passion that David had. Maybe our heart isn't always fixed on God like it should, and that should be something we're working towards. But many of us has a good desire and a humble desire and a holy desire to do the things of the Lord. But you learn something here. He becomes disappointed because he does it the wrong way. And I see here him frowning in verse number 8. I see him fearing in verse number 9. And this is not a holy fear, a reverence of God, of falling on his face and saying, God, what did I do wrong? God, what can I learn from him? Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's not the type of fear. This is a fleshly fear that, you know, I'm never going to please God. So if God's not even going to be happy with this, and we make reasons, and why should I even try to serve? And then you also see the frustration. He's like, if I can't do what I want to do, even though I'm trying to do what's right, I'm just not going to do it at all. You ever been there? I tell you that I see it happens in many Christians' life. They have desire. Hey, I want to raise my kids to love the Lord, and I want them to go off and do great and mighty things for God. Well, then there are certain things the Bible says that are successful. I want the best marriage, and I want to be the right head of the household, or I want to be the right submissive wife, and I want to be this. You know, but there's certain things there. Just because you have the right desire, if you try to go about the wrong way, God's not going to bless. You see, there was a faulty decision. He set the ark of God upon a new cart. David's first problem was rooted in the fact that he either forgot or ignored God's clear command. Another flaw that factored into David's decision was that he did not seek God as he had done beforehand. You see at the beginning of this chapter, from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, since he's become king, you know what he's doing? He's asking God. He's going to God and he's saying, God, hey, I want this. God, I need this. God, I need your leadership. I need your direction. God, which way? You don't see that happening here. He doesn't ask God what's the best way. If he had sought counsel, if he had looked at it, someone would have probably said, hey, David, remember, God said it needed to be carried with the poles. God said it needed to be the people of Levi that would carry them. And you see the third thing, he also did the same methods that the world used. So what do you mean? Well, you go back and you look back to when the Philistines had dropped it off at Abinadab's house. You know what they used? They used a new cart. And I don't know if David knew that or understood that, or maybe they just left the cart there and that's what it sat in for all those years. But they did the same thing that the world did. And anytime we try to reach the world and try to do what's right using fleshly methods, you know what it's going to do? It's going to turn out to be a disaster. Anytime we try to do things and do God's work in our flesh and with fleshly methods, it's going to end up being a disaster. And we live in a world today where technology has changed, and there's a lot of things that we can do to enhance our worship, and there's things that we can do in order to make things easier for people to see and hear. We don't mind using screens sometimes. We don't mind using sound systems. You know, they didn't have sound systems back then, but can you imagine if we didn't use a sound system today? A lot of people says, well, it's too loud or too soft. You know, we have those little ear things that help many of you to hear better today. You know, they didn't do that things. Those are technology things. You know, things like that can enhance our service, so that way the word gets out. That's one thing. But I'm talking about going to the world's methods and doing the world's things to try to promote God's work and God's timing and God's presence. Like some people use the world's music. Sometimes people use the world's logic. Sometimes people use the world's philosophies. And they say, hey, there's nothing wrong with this because we're trying to do the right thing. That makes it all okay. But that's not the case. In your lives, we have to learn, and I have to learn, that I try to do this at times. I just want what's right. I have the good heart, and I want the right desires, but I can't go about doing things my own way. It's got to be the way that God says it. It's got to be God's way. Well, I don't know how many times I hear people say, well, I know this is what God's word says, but this is what I think. Who cares what we think? Not just what you think, but what I think. It's what God says that's important. David here, he had the right desire, but he became disappointed. And many times we are cultivating a fleshly desire, and when nothing happens, or when the wrong thing happens, you know what happens? We get disappointed. We say, what's the big deal? We get discouraged and displeased, like David says. We begin to fear and like, wow, look what God did. God caused something horrible to happen. God caused something bad to happen. God allowed this to happen, even though I had the right heart. And then we just stop. They just throw it. Yeah, I know that Jerusalem needs the ark, and I know that the people need the ark, and I know that we need to worship together as a group and as a nation. We haven't done that for a long time, but I just didn't happen my way. And we give up. There's people sitting at home today that's given up because they're trying to work serving in the arm of the flesh, and when things did not turn out the way that they wanted it to turn out, you know what happened? They got displeased. They started saying, as you see at the end of verse number, verse number 9, he's like, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? He's like, what am I supposed to do? And we get frustrated and flustered, and we're like, well, what am I supposed to do? I've tried this, this, and this. Go back and see if you're doing it the right way. Go back and look at your life and say, am I really honoring the Lord? Am I listening to his paths? Am I listening to us? Am I living by faith? Am I doing? So David's disappointed. This has contemplated a fleshly display, and I just want to help encourage you today that you got to do what God's will. You say, well, Pastor, there's all these mega churches out there. There's all these thousands of people and all these people that are getting all this help and all the difference that they're making in America. Do you think America looks better than it did 20 or 30 years ago before all these mega churches? And I'm not saying that all those things are wrong and every single person is bad, but if they're not doing it the biblical way, God's not doing that blessing. And America is a lot worse off than it was 30 or 40 years ago. And so you say, well, look at all these people that say they're Christian. Look at all these people. You know, there's people that just are going about the world's way of doing things. And I'm not saying that we have to go back to where, you know, we don't use sound systems, we don't play pianos, because there was a day there was no piano in a church, and there was a day when they didn't do certain things. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that we need to make sure we're doing it God's way. And in your life, you're going to have a life full of disappointment and displeasure and fearing God in the wrong way, and the fact that you feel like you can't do anything right, and you're just going to say, I give up, I can't do this anymore. And it's because we did some of it right. We had the right desire, we had the right motive, but we felt like the end would justify the means. Oh, it's okay if I do this because I got the right heart. It's okay if I do it this way. God doesn't bless that. Third thing I want you to see is David determines to do it God's way. You look in verses 11 through 19, it changes in David's attitude. David goes and hears that the Lord is blessing him in verse number 12, and it was told David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom, and he kind of clues in. He's like, see, I told you that if we got the ark, that it was going to bless. I told you that if the ark was near us, God was going to bless us. See, it's right, it's there. And he decides once again, hey, we're going to go do it. You need to go back to the reason why we have the right to heart desire. We need to go back to that motive, and that we said to the Lord, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, I want to help reach the world. Lord, I love you. And Lord, get back to that motive and say, okay, why am I here? Why do I want the presence of God? Why do I want to serve him? Why do I want to live for him? Whatever put that in my heart to begin with. That's why he's reminded of that. He says, I knew that was going to happen. And then he changes his attitude. He's reminded when he hears the blessings that's heaped upon Obed-Edom's house. And David goes and gets the ark, and he brings it home. Next thing you see about the change in the approach. It says in verse 13, it was so that when they were, then they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces. Somehow he clued in and figured out that what he had done was wrong. I'm sure he probably went back to his kingdom, and I'm sure he had people there that knew the law and knew the people, and they heard what happened. They probably saw David displeased. They saw David discouraged. Now David no longer was trying to do what was right with bringing the ark back. And someone, I'm sure, said, hey, David, you know what happened was because we did it the wrong way. And when you're confronted with doing something the wrong way, you have one of two choices. You can completely blow it off, which most of us do. Or you can look into the Bible and see if it's true or not. Even when you're confronted with, whether it be preaching or individually someone coming to you and saying, hey, something's off here. Or even when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart, you can blow it off. Or you can turn around and say, you know what? Let me look at this. And when we see that we've done wrong, we change our approach. We go and we say, okay, Lord, I want to do what's right. And then you see it's manifested not only in David's attitude and manifest in David's approach, it's manifested in David's actions. And we've read through verses 14 through 19, and we spent a little bit of time there. And I'm not saying I have all the answers when it comes to everything, but I do say that we should be able to worship the Lord. We should be able to praise the Lord. When we sing here, when we believe in this day and time where we live at, and in our culture, and where we sing to the Lord, we worship the Lord, we should do that with all our heart. Amen. We should just be willing to praise him. It should be something that we rejoice over. Nothing wrong with saying things like amen. There's nothing wrong with having a happy face. There's not, you know, too many people come in and they look miserable, and because they look miserable, it kind of, that's the way we all need to look. And, you know, some people act like they're unhappy to be here and it's miserable to be here. And this is God's house. This is a place where people should feel comfortable to smile and enjoy being at church and hearing the word of God preached and hearing the word of God exalted and the Lord's name lifted on high, and just praise the Lord and be thankful for that. And I'm not saying that it needs to, you know me, I'm not a person that hoops and hollers and shouts a lot, but you know, when it's time to sing, you know what we should do? We should sing, right? We should be willing to worship and fellowship with one another. David here is out there taking off his kingly robes, and he is dancing before the Lord, and it's not in a bad light. It's not in a way that it's like looked down upon. It's something that's there, and it says, look, he's excited about the things of God. He's excited about getting to the presence of God. And the great thing is, we don't have to go to the ark. We don't have to make a voyage all the way to Jerusalem. Well, the ark's not there anyway. We have God's presence in our heart, the Holy Spirit of God that's with us, and the Holy Spirit of God that can lift us up, and we can be excited about serving the Lord and be excited about wanting to do the things of God. You will always be disappointed. You will always be discouraged when you try to serve the Lord in your own arm of the flesh and when you try to do the right thing the wrong way. We got to know what the right thing is. We got to do it the right way. We got to be willing to give our heart over to him and say, you know what? I'm willing to serve the Lord. I'm willing to do it your way, God. And then when we know we're doing it God's way, we'll rejoice. We'll be happy. But many of us are questioning, is that the way I should do it? Is that not the way I should do it? Look it up in the Bible. Give your whole heart, fixate your heart on the Lord, and give your life over to him and say, Lord, I just want to serve you. I want to do what's right. I want to have the right motives. I want to have the right desires, and I just want to serve you, Lord, with my whole heart. Here I am, Lord. Use me. I'm going to set aside myself, set aside my own desires. I'm not going to care what the world has to say, and I'm just going to serve you. And it says, with all his might. And so I want to encourage you tonight. David impresses me in the fact that his passion for God. But he didn't do it the right way. And Uzzah ended up losing his life. And even though I know people like, well, David didn't get killed, I'm sure David was as disappointed and upset as any man was about what happened to Uzzah. And I'm sure he was discouraged, thinking, what am I supposed to do? And in our Christian lives, we sit around sometimes, we're like, I've tried, God. You know my heart. Look at my heart. I want to do what's right. What am I supposed to do? What can I do? And we give up. We don't serve anymore. We like, I'm overwhelmed. David, he changed his attitude. He changed his approach. And he changed his actions. Tonight, I want you to look at your life and say, Lord, I do want what's right. I do want to reach the world for Jesus Christ. I do want to serve him. I hear these things. It stirs up my heart about doing what's right. God, is there something that I'm doing the wrong way? Is there some reason why you're not blessing me? Is there something that I'm putting inside the new cart instead of carrying on my shoulders? He said, that's silly. It's the truth. Are we doing things the right way? Because you say, well, God doesn't really care about those little details. Go tell Mrs. Uzzah that. He does care. He does want it done the right way. And we need to find out what God says the right way is. And then live that way. Because when we do it the right way, we can do it with a heart that's free of guilt, a heart that's free of just service. Because it's not a service, it's a love of God that we do what we do. And it's a pleasure to serve the Lord. And it's a desire. And then we're going to want to obviously not be dancing around like David did. But we're going to want to be able to serve him with a pleasurable heart and say, it's a joy to be a Christian. It's a joy to serve the Lord. And I'm going to do it with my whole heart. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.